Monet, I was just looking up the Anchor app. Have you heard about this?
I've heard of it. Something to do with podcasts, right?
Okay, so Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's absolutely free. Mm-hmm. And they have this like creation tool that lets you record a podcast and edit it right from your phone or your computer.
Oh, that's right, because they can distribute your podcast for you, and it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the other podcast distribution places, right?
Oh, and you will get the listeners, honey, and when you get the listeners, you make the coin thotas. Mm-hmm. But here's the crazy thing. You actually don't have to have a minimum listenership to get money. You can still make coins.
So it's essentially every single thing you need to make a podcast all in one place.
Oh, you're just so tickled. You love the idea of making podcasts. I love you, Monet.
I love
you. Now listen, if you want to download the free Anchor app, you can also go to anchor.fm and get started.
Is music a big part of your life? Let me tell you about Anchor, Spotify's podcasting platform. There are creation tools that allow you to easily and quickly record and edit right from your phone or computer. And best of all, Miss Dang, she is free. With Anchor, you can create a Music Plus talk show. With Music Plus Talk, you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes, alongside talk segments featuring your commentary. Miss Day, this is revolutionary. This is the future. This is happening now. Music Plus Talk is a new way to create with all the music that you love. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's from music analysis, your own radio show, a hosted playlist, a deep dive on your favorite genre or artist, or something the world's never heard before. You can do it with Anchor Music Plus Talk. Anchor will even help publish your show on Spotify so you can reach hundreds of millions of listeners. Got an idea for a Music Plus Talk show? Just head over to anchor.com/musicplustalk. That's anchor.fm/musicplustalk to sign up for Anchor and make your own Music Plus Talk show for free.
My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Money Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
On this week's episode, we talk about why white people love smoking weed out of a bong.
We talk all about pride.
And we find out what made Monet say this.
My cat came back with a scratched up nipple. Last time, Colleen had a big scratch on her pussy. I'm like, what is going on over there at the Warners, girl?
And we find out what made Bob the drag queen say this.
I didn't do nothing. Jacob had choices. Jacob had all the choices in the world. Do you want to start off by talking about how you were trying to stack on my creativity?
Do you want to start off by sucking my dick?
Oh my God, that's not how you proposition someone.
Honestly, I'm into that. Suck my dick, boy.
Boy!
Who is that? That's Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. Yeah, boy!
We should do an episode about
Hype Man one day, because Fat Man Scoop, Flavor Flav,
Whole episode about Hype Man?
Well, hype men were a really big part of like hip hop culture.
Right? I know, but a whole episode, maybe a one about hip hop, maybe that sounds a little more feasible. Not just about hype men. That seems very specific.
I mean, apparently you probably couldn't do one about that because you don't know about By the way, rest in peace to Shock G, who passed away this year, who is also a very famous hype man as well.
Shock G, don't know her.
Shock G, you probably know him under the name Humpty Hump, but his name wasn't actually Humpty, but he said in a song, my name is Humpty, I'll do the Humpty Hump, hey, I'll do the Humpty.
He sounds like very 90s rap.
It was very, well, hype men are from the, like, hype men are really 90s.
2000s. Well, there are some, they spanned.
You do not know what you're talking about.
Hype men spanned from like the late 80s to like early 2000s. Now, hype men aren't really a thing anymore.
But hype men came out of the 90s, and they were still going on in the early
2000s. Hip-hop came out of the 80s and 90s, too. Doesn't mean hip-hop
is... Just because there are still people doing disco songs today doesn't mean disco is from the 2000s, Monet. Disco is from the 70s.
But we're talking about when it was popular, and hype men were popular.
It was most popular in the 90s.
Right. I said, but you said only the 90s. I said 90s.
No, I did not. I said hype men are from the 90s. I did not say hype men are only in the 90s. You just admitted you don't even know anything about a hype man. So why are you trying to act like you're an expert?
That's what I don't know. I just said that doing a whole episode about them sounds very boring to me.
You didn't even know who Shock G was. Now you're the hype man expert.
I don't care. That's the person that passed away. Oh, rest in peace.
Wow. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Monet didn't give a fuck. There are also
Bob. That is not funny.
There are also some very popular hype men from the early 2000s. I will give you that credit because Lil Jon was basically, he was from the era where hype men were like also producers as well. So Lil Jon would basically get on a track and yell, "Yeah, okay, what?"
Which was when we did Amanda Seals' Smart, Funny, and Black. That was your thing. Okay, so there was a part in the game show where Bob had to do, we both had to come up with like a thing that would be like our buzzer sound, obviously, because this was digital. It was virtual because of COVID. And then so Bob's thing was, he was like, my sound is going to be, okay. Bitch, the first question, Bob is like, he knows, he's like, okay. I'm like,
what happened was,
that's not what you did?
This is what happened. Amanda Seals said, make sure I finish my question, my entire question. So Amanda Seals was like, the third color in the rainbow is, and I thought to myself that she was just pausing. So I said, oh, and then I said, wait, are you done? She goes, yeah, I'm done. I said, okay. Y'all can go back and watch it. I will find timestamps. Y'all can go back and watch
it.
I don't
need to.
Then also what I was loving was in the chat, they were all like, Monet, because I was watching on YouTube as well.
Oh, so you were cheating. You're looking at the comments on YouTube. Okay, got it.
Just you all also know that also wasn't happening because as everyone here knows, there is a severe lag. So I answered all the questions before they ever got around.
You just admitted that you cheated by going in the chat because Amanda says literally said in the thing, she was like, you know, you guys always put answers in the chat. Please stop putting answers in the chat. That means that the answers were in and you were fucking cheating.
So let me get two things straight. So one, you're saying that I was saying, okay, almost before she was even done speaking.
No, that's not what I said.
Wait. But then you're also saying that I was also waiting long enough for the answer to come into the chat. Which one is it, Monet?
No.
What's the truth?
I was saying that you weren't doing
it make sense.
You weren't doing the sound. You said your buzzer sound was going to be, okay, and then it became, okay.
Y'all go back and watch it. Go. You know what? I don't need to justify myself to Monet. Y'all can go watch it. Y'all know that Monet is sour like a patch kid because she lost.
First of all, we were tied at the end of Madison.
We were not tied.
Okay, yes, we were tied. Bob won the first round. I won the second round. Bob won the third round. I won the fourth round.
Sympathy.
And then Madison literally like, so we are tied. And she was like, but I'm going to give it to Trinity the Tuck.
Monet. If we tie, why did I win?
Because y'all go back and watch it. Oh my god, you are so ridiculous.
If we tied, why did I win? That's my only question.
Which is why we were invited back to do it in real life, so we can find the real winner. Got it. Okay.
Listen. Okay. First of all, she did not say invite back to find the. That is a narrative that you are spinning. This real winner narrative. Y'all can go back and check it for yourself.
Please.
Monet is just mad at hell because if you look at me now, this is me. Look at me.
Where did Bob go?
Look at me.
Oh my God.
This is why Monet's mad because this is me. Me.
Lord, Father Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Father.
Monet is so mad.
Bob over there trying to stut. Bob was also in this thing pulling out all the shows. At one point, we had to debate about something. Bob goes and put on a fucking baby filter. That shit, you were so extra that whole show.
I was entertaining the children. They were gagged, honey.
They were gagged.
And then also Monet was such a little copycat ass bitch.
How was that copycat?
This is how you a copycat ass bitch. Because when we had to defend our diva, I was like, I'm gonna do a whole thing where I mention because I had to defend Patti LaBelle, right? So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do Patti LaBelle. So I was like, when I talk about the iconic Patricia Louise Holt, so then Monet was like, let's talk about Anna Mae Bullock. Bitch, you was not gonna say full names, so I said full names.
Yes, I was.
No, you weren't.
Everyone knows. Everyone. Okay, first of all, every person on the sound of my voice listens to this podcast has probably listened because Colleen is listening to me too right now.
With scratched up ass nipples.
Oh my God! So y'all, Kennedy, Bob's assistant, they are in cahoots. So I was out of town, and Kennedy watched my cat. And my cat came back with a scratched up nipple. Last time, Colleen had a big scratch on her pussy. I'm like, what is going on over there at the Warners, girl? Anyway.
You know, the scratch is getting closer and closer to her face. You're about to scar this bitch. You're about to be looking like Scar.
Anyway. Everyone who was listening to this has seen What's Love Got to Do With It. And Tina Turner's name, I knew her as Anna Bullock before I knew her as Tina Turner.
But also, like, you probably should have known if you watched the movie that she wants to be called Tina Turner.
I know.
You disrespected this bitch by calling her Miss Anime Bullock.
Oh, you just call her a bitch. So who's disrespecting
like
who?
Me and Tina are close like that. She likes it. She thinks it's funny.
Well, it's, really it's funny. Also the round that I won. Did I win that round or not?
Technically.
Did I win? Technically, no. Did I win or not? There's no technically. Did I win or not?
Technically. Also, they didn't go that during the second round the voting crashed, and I believe that all the Bob votes didn't get in time. So,
and I said, what in the Donald Trump is Bob going through on this day? You know what, Amanda, there was a whole lot of collusion. My vote didn't come in.
There was lots of collusion. I don't believe that there was right. We have a massive problem in the voting population when the ballots are being disputed by the contestants on Smart, Funny, and Black.
But this also reminded us that Bob and I, because with the pandemic and everything, and since election night we haven't done it, we used to do our monthly sibling rivalry live Patreon shows. So we're gonna get back to doing those as well, because those are honestly really fun, and people can listen to us do it live and chime in live, and those are a really good time. So we're gonna get back to doing
that Patreon election night Kiki was I don't know what we were thinking because it could have gone so south.
I know. But it was great. It was a good time.
I will never forget where I was when Donald Trump won the first time at a party and then feeling like a fool because I was at a fucking party. And I was like, God damn.
That probably was a sad-ass party. Like, because when we all knew what it was going to be, like around 10:30, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, were y'all all just quiet? Like, what was going on at this party?
So we were at the party. Heidi Ho was dressed up as Hillary Clinton. There were a couple of Donald Trump impersonators there as well. All the Donald Trump impersonators started slowly disappearing throughout the night. And then Heidi was dressed as Hillary. She got really, really drunk. Everyone honestly just got really sad. There was a moment where we were like cheering because Hillary was in the lead for a minute. And then Trump started pulling up in the electorals. And then we all just got sad. And that was the first time that I had ever heard New York City silent. Like it was... Yeah. In my 12 years living in New York City, that was the first time I was like, damn, it is quiet as hell up in here.
In your 12 years of shave. Mother Shannon sent me a DM.
What'd she say?
I need to respond to it. Mother Shannon Dunhead said, it was something like, I have something for you. Send me your address with some heart emojis.
Well, bitch, you better, I don't know this.
What? Don't you dare.
What is she about to send you the fucking 1-2, bitch? I got something for you. Send me your address. Send me your address.
With heart emoji, we've been very nice. And Mother Shannon, I think Mother Shannon maybe listens or one of her kids listens. And she hears us celebrating her often. And Mother Shannon has my heart. I love her so much. I wish she'd be my mom, honestly. Fuck
you. You know what? I got something for you. Run me your address.
Oh my God! I was on Facebook today, and I saw the cutest video of Miss Martha eating a slug sandwich.
Oh my God!
It's so cute.
My mother is really a country lady.
What kind of sandwich is it?
A slug burger is
slug burger. That's what it is.
A slug burger is a burger, but it's not all beef. So, like back in the day, when there was a shortage of beef, or if you're really poor, live in a poor area, you couldn't the restaurant couldn't sell full beef burgers, so they would like mix it in with like cornmeal and other stuff. So it's like flour and other stuff. So it still kind of tastes like a burger, but it's less beef and it's got some like basically gluten in the burger to add to like make the
give it body.
Yeah, to make the beef go further.
Got it. Do you like Slug Burgers?
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. They, to be honest, they just taste like burgers. Like, they taste like burgers that are, like, a little bit bready on the inside. Right, Jacob? Jacob ate a Slug Burger.
Word.
Also, girl, Jacob came to my family, and they was like, let me tell you right now, my black family... There was this meme on Black Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving blackout. What's it called? Thanksgiving clapback.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of Michelle Obama looking at this white lady like this. And it says, when your white girlfriend says she normally eats vegetarian. This was literally my experience. Jacob up in Mississippi talking about some, I'm normally vegetarian. Girl, Jacob ate ribs on that week.
Did he really?
He would have starved. He would have starved to death. My family does not.
Not you making Jacob sick on Thanksgiving.
I didn't do nothing. Jacob had choices. Jacob had all the choices in the world.
Wow. That's like giving someone a handgun and a hand grenade. They're like, pick your poison, bitch.
Okay, first of all, I don't cook. I was not cooking Jacob anything.
You don't
all
cook, I did was, you don't clean.
But let me tell you, I got this break. All I did was take Jacob to Mississippi. And the next thing you knew, my Aunt Hazel and my mother was like, Jacob, grab some of these ribs. Now, you said you're vegetarian. Can you eat ribs? Now, you're vegetarian, but can you eat catfish? Okay, you're vegetarian. Can you eat pork chops?
There was a table with all the food, and I got up, and I was going for the corn, and one of his aunts came up and just started putting everything onto my plate.
Word.
And I was like... I couldn't, like, not eat the chicken.
Girl, Jacob was in Mississippi, in Corinth, Mississippi, looking like the only sore thumb.
Also, one of my favorite things, Thanksgiving clapback pictures, it's like the quintessential, like, black mom with like, her bonnet, like, in her room on her bed sitting down. And then there's, like, her black son, and, like, the door is, like, open, and like, there's a white girl standing up there, too. And it goes... Rebecca just wanted to know why y'all like eat her potato salad. And that shit is so funny to me. There's another one I saw today. It said, this girl, her name is @LeahNWDAFanta. It said, smoking with a white girl, she keeps saying thank you every time I pass the blunt. Thank you.
I mean, I have done a blunt circle like maybe once or twice. I don't smoke weed. When I was in college, I used to smoke weed. Mm-hmm. And
meth. And cocaine?
A little, but I'm nothing crazy.
Okay.
No, but I used to, like, I've done a few blunt circles, but I also used to, none of my black friends smoked weed in college. It was only my white friends who smoked weed.
Oh, really?
So they were into bongs.
Oh, my God. White people are obsessed with, white people love bongs. They can't get enough of bongs. They love bongs.
None of my black friends smoked weed. It was me, Leisha, Val, Sarah, none of us smoked weed. All of us were like, I mean, we drank, but all the white folks were fucking stoners.
Really? Well, I mean, that was like a really big trope in like the early 2000s, right? Like you think of like Can't Hardly and those like white movies, like white teenager movies from like that time. It was always the white kids like doing bongs and like.
But yeah, but I mean, but black folks were, it was a trope for black people like smoke weed every day.
That is true. I guess that is true.
And yeah. Also, what was the movie with
How High?
Dave Chappelle's Half Baked.
Oh, Half Baked. How High with Method Man.
How High with Method Man. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I think that there were just different cultures. Sure. I was just never in. I did 1 month hard time as a stoner. 1 month.
Word.
I got out of the game. I was out. I'm good. It was nice, but I'm out. It's been lovely. It's been lovely.
Well, let's take a break and then we can talk more about your bad habits.
Yo, let's get high. Smoke weed every day.
Such a good song. Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, stank, stunk, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was warming, it was gray, it was looking crazy, and I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back-
I was watching my poor niece eat
literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they served millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code RIVALRY to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Away is a modern lifestyle brand that creates thoughtful products for every traveler and every kind of trip. They started with the perfect suitcase, crafted with features that make travel more seamless. And now, when travel looks more different than ever before, you can count on Away's range of suitcases, bags, accessories whenever you take that next trip. Whether it's a trip to the corner store or a weekend away, we're all navigating the current reality of travel. But no matter your destination or style, Away's suitcases, bags, and accessories all come in a variety of colors, shapes, sizes, and materials to suit your needs and inspire your future travels. Yes, travels. Seriously, I love Away suitcases. I literally cannot get enough of the new metallic aluminum ones because, you know, I travel a lot and they love throwing and dinging your bags everywhere. And at least this, I know the contents inside my bag because I got sensitive wigs. They're safe. And drag queens, I'm in hundreds of cities a year, and Away is the best brand I found to really come through that no other suitcase has done for me in the past. All of Away's suitcases are designed to last a lifetime with durable exteriors that can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. I'm side-eyeing and rolling my eyes because them hoes be rough as hell. Every suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more in, and a hidden and removable laundry bag that separates your dirty clothes. Full tea, bitch, that laundry bag integration is so seamless. I literally went for months before I realized it was there. It's so sleek. 360-degree spinner wheels guarantee the smoothest roll, even through the most hectic of airports and situations. Y'all know them airports with carpets? Girl, this will roll right on through. Available in different materials like polycarbonate, aluminum, and durable nylon in a variety of colors and sizes. A TSA-approved combination lock keeps all your belongings safe. Away products are designed to last a lifetime. If any part of a suitcase breaks, Away standout customer service team will arrange to have it fixed or replaced. There is a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. Take the product out on the road, live with it, travel with it, even get her lost within 100 days. And if you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. No ifs, ands, or asterisks. Away offers free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous US, UK, Europe, and Canada. Start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases at awaytravel.com/rivalry. That's awaytravel.com/rivalry.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care. The product that works wonders for curls
might make straight hair limp and greasy. Now, I use wigs, and they are sometimes made from human hair. And when I want to wash them, I want to treat them with a lot of respect and care because they are incredibly expensive. Thanks to my personalized Pros routine, I can honestly say I have never been more in love with my hair. Pros makes custom hair care that's effective because it's personal, using natural ingredients with proven results. Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements. First, Pros starts by asking about you as a person with their in-depth consultation. Now, Pros asked me some really unexpected things that I didn't even think about in my hair care, like what I eat or what's like the level of greasiness in my hair or how often I wash my hair. Now, as y'all know, I don't have hair, but I have a lot of them in the closet. Next, Pros analyzed all my answers and determined what unique blend of ingredients should be in every product of my custom routine. Together, Pros got all my hair goals covered. As a carbon neutral certified B Corp, Pearls is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive, Pearls is the best hair care you've had. It will take the products back, no questions asked. Pearls is the healthy hair care regimen with your name all over. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pearls.com/rivalry. That's PROSE.com/rivalry for free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
Wait, what are we talking about today? I don't even know what we're doing today.
Monet, I'm so glad you asked that question because today we're talking about, read my chest. Read, what does it say? Read it to me.
What your chest says?
You don't know what my tattoo says without looking,
wait,
bitch.
Wait, I do know. Hold on. Oh, I get up God. Out of bed. Oh, I put on my shoes because I got bills to pay.
My shoes?
I forgot about it. I put on my clothes. I forget.
Yes, clothes. I get up out of bed. I put on my clothes because I got bills to pay. Now, it ain't easy, but I don't need no help. I got a strong will to survive. I've got a deeper love inside. I feel like at the beginning of, what's the podcast where he always sings?
The Reed.
Oh, at the
yeah.
Of the Reed,
I always, love The
he
Reed.
He always opens The Reed with a song.
I think Kid Fury is so cute.
Very cute.
So cute. I knew him before The Reed. He had like a few viral videos. That's how I came to know him. And then like years later, I remember posting online. We're like, because this was when I was just getting to podcasts. I was like, can someone recommend like silly, fun, like black podcasts? And so they recommended The Reed to me. I was like, oh my God. And then I made the connection with him. I love him.
Yeah, it's a really great podcast and very, very adorable. And today we're talking about Pride Month.
Mama. Pride motherfucking like, month.
Now, you know, so June is Pride Month, but then, of course, I learned in my travels that basically there are places that celebrate Pride.
Yo City.
Here. Well, Atlanta, back in my day, when I lived in Atlanta, we did Pride during June, but now Pride is in October.
Who made that decision? Was there some governor like, Craig, we moving that shit? Right.
No, they moved it to, from what I understand, they moved it to the fall because it is, one, way too hot. A lot of people are having heat strokes. And also, it happens in Piedmont Park, and that, like, destroys the grass. Like, the grass just gets ruined every... In the summers when, the grass is still vibrant from the spring, and the grass dies during the fall anyway, so they're like, go ahead, just do it during the fall.
I remember a few years ago, I was on doing some gig in Atlanta, and I had a day off, and I went to Piedmont Park, and I was, like, posting videos on Piedmont Park.
And dogs and gays.
And Bob called me. He was like, Monet, you need to call my mom. I was like, what happened? She's like, you are in Atlanta. She saw your Instagram story. She's very upset you have not called her. I was like, oh, my God, and I called your mom.
Oh, if my mom finds out that you're in Atlanta and you don't tell her, it's a wrap. Bitch, I would be on a layover for 15 minutes. She'll be like, you didn't tell me you were in. I was like, Mom, I'm here for 15 minutes on a layover. There is nothing you and I can do together at any point during this layover. You should have just told me.
Have you celebrated at, was the first party you celebrated in Atlanta in Piedmont Park?
Yeah, the very first Pride I ever celebrated was at Piedmont Park. I was in high school.
High school? 12.
My mom took me. Yeah, my mom took me to Pride.
Bob, when did you come out? I don't think I know when you came out. Oh my God, I don't know when you came out.
I came out to my mother the day after I graduated high school. But my mom took me to Pride before I came out. I think she
She was like, let me take this gay ass nigga to this damn parade.
Well, my mom used to go to Pride too. My mom would go to Pride all the time.
Right. And so when you used to go to these prides, well, before we get to that, like, bitch, set the scene. What is the, you were like, were you at, were okay, you having so a slug burger?
I was that's Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
And they must have drove that slug burger from Mississippi to my mother's house, which is a 5-hour drive. There's no way. I mean, maybe they found a slug burger somewhere in Atlanta. I'm sure Atlanta has someone making slug burgers, but I only ever heard of a slug burger come from Mississippi. Remember, whenever I'm there, my mom's like, ooh, get me a slug burger. And I'd be like, Mom, eat a burger. anyway, so it was the weekend. It was Saturday. And my mom took me down to Piedmont Park. And I've been to Piedmont Park before because it is the place where gays and dogs go. If you're a gay or a dog.
Would you go there to like hook up?
No. I mean, probably, but not me. I was in high school and I also didn't have a car. I mean, I couldn't get to Piedmont Park from Clay County. I mean, you could take the C-Tran, but you don't want to take the C-Tran all the way to Piedmont Park. That's crazy. Okay. Anyway. When I showed up, we parked at the Mellow Mushroom, which is right outside of Piedmont Park. And I used to love Mellow Mushroom too. It was one of my favorite pieces of places. It was actually my favorite piece of place growing up. And then I discovered the magic of Domino's, thin crust pepperoni pizza. Anyway.
CC's has entered the chat.
Okay.
Atlanta is riddled with CC's.
Okay, yeah, she's entered the chat, but ain't nobody responding to her. Okay.
She was left on red. I love pizza, CC's pizza.
Bitch, pizza, pizza.
Bitch. Okay, the CC's dessert pizza, like the cinnamon with like the icing swirl on it, that is literally the most delicious thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Okay, let me tell you right now. If your whole team is comprised of literally one great player, bitch, you're not the MVP. You may have an MVP, but you're not going to win the championship, okay? Domino's has a team of all stars. The lava cake, the wings, the fucking, the bowls, the pasta.
Honestly, I'm getting that today. I had a really hard week.
Wait, let's get together.
Yes, I'm treating myself to some fucking Domino's.
Some nasty fat bitches today, girl. Big fat busting out my motherfucking.
Bentley
fat.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So we parked in the mushroom, and I remember getting out, and my mom didn't tell me we were going to Gay Pride. We just went down there, and then like I remember like getting out of the car and seeing these two gay guys walking at me, mm-hmm. who I remember thinking were very attractive, and they were both wearing matching outfits. And I remember thinking to myself, like, bitch, that's going to be me. That's going to be me.
Did they look like a couple that only speaks in we? I can't with we.
Yeah, they were definitely a we couple. They were very, very that. They looked like, I mean, they were literally just passing by. And, I mean, they in my mind, they were like way taller than me, which is probably not true because I was 6'2 at the time. But in my head, they were like muscly guys wearing these like tank tops and matching shorts. And I just remember being like, bitch, that's about to be me. Like, that's about to be me. Uh-huh. And then we walked into the park, and then my mom was like, yeah, we're at Pride. And we, like, walked through all the vendors and, like, just seeing all the queer people. It was just so... It felt like I was like... you know what it felt like? This must be what Dorothy feels like when she lands in Oz and everything is now in color. And she's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, got it. And then, so then you were walking, and you're like, Mom, I am gay.
No, I didn't tell her I was gay until the night I graduated high school. Like, after my graduation.
Tell me that story, so I don't want to find out.
Oh, I thought you wanted to know about the... Okay, so I came home from graduation. I was helping my mom take out her micro braids. I mean, the story gets gayer and gayer. I was helping my mom take out her micro braids. You know,
I was breathing her scalp.
You know that thing where you're taking out your... Where like, people take out their braids, and... They'd be like, where's the new growth?
Oh my God, yes.
Bitch, my mama's hair was, if y'all can't see me, I'm holding my hands about an inch apart. My mama was like, maybe it's out here. No, Mary. It's like, you had the braids in for a month, not 3 years. Your hair's not grown that long. Also, the new growth grows at the root. It does not grow at the hair. But they be killing me. I'm just gonna do all the way out here just in case. You never know.
No, girl, we can go right down to the scalp, baby.
So I was helping my mom take out her micro braids, and I was like, Mom, I want to tell you some stuff. I want you to know a few things about me because you know I'm an adult now. I graduated high school.
This is so Bob.
I'm 17 years old. I'm gonna be going off to college. I got accepted to CSU. This is a pretty big deal. It's basically the Harvard of Columbus, Georgia. it is the best school in Columbus, Georgia. I will say that. And I said, well, you know, I want you to know that I got drunk over spring break. And she was like, that's okay. I was like, and I want you to know that I think I like men.
You fully have a fucking butt plug talking to her in your ass. Like, I think I like guys.
I was like, I think. I'm not sure, though.
What did she say?
I don't know. Maybe I like guys.
What did she say?
And she was like, oh. Well, I mean, I think she was pretending to be shocked. Because she's like, oh. Oh, my. Well,
you know, this is, I'm going to have to process this. I'm like, Mom, like, what's good? Like, Miley, like you are not going to win this acting challenge, Ms. Caldwell. Like, I was a president at the time. I had just stepped down as a president of the drama club through graduating high school.
Not like, Bob being the Lea Michele of Columbus, Georgia.
Barely. I was beloved. I'll have you know. Wait, was Lea Michele's character beloved, or is it just Lea Michele?
No, they did not like her. They did not like her.
So she's like really like it's.
Yeah, art imitates life. Imitates art. Imitates life. Yeah, that whole circle, girl. But work. That's cute.
How about you? What's your first pride?
My first pride. The first I went to was with Jasmine Rice LaBeija. I had not been to a pride.
Wait. So you were like an adult.
Yeah, I was like 22, like 21, 22, something like that.
You never snuck out when you were in high school to go to Pride?
No, I didn't.
In New York? Oh,
I know. But like the
bitch,
funny
thing. I would have been up in there in middle school.
The funny thing is I used to like go to like all the gay clubs, thinking I had like a fake ID. I would go to all the gay clubs and stuff, but I never went to a Pride. And so I meet Jasmine Rice LaBeija at this summer opera program, and we were working together, and like we find out that we both watch Drag Race, so like Drag Race. And then she's like, we should go, because this was summertime. The arts program was from like the middle of May through July. And she was like, Pride is coming, we should go. And I was like, girl, I can't go to a Pride. That's like gay. She's like, bitch, you like Drag Race. You think you're going to a Pride? And she's like, Jasmine, then she started adding layers. And she's like, we should like walk the parade. I was like, oh, that's so much. She's like, we should walk the parade and drag. Just adding stakes.
You know what? We should get raw dogged in the middle of the parade. Get our backs broke while sniffing poppers. Let's just try it.
So I was like, okay. So I went. I don't know how I found these shoes to fit me, but these shoes fit me well.
How did you get in the parade? You can't just get.
Oh, you know, Jasmine. How did Jasmine? Queen of breaking the rules. Like I met Jasmine at her apartment. Back then, she was living on 155th and Broadway. She had like an apartment there. Mind you, she had an apartment. She didn't have any AC. So it was me and Jasmine painting in her hot top level apartment in the middle.
You did drag at your first ever Pride?
Yeah. Yeah. And I got it.
You are wild.
I know. I got painted. I got this dress from Forever 21 and I put this short blonde wig on, the one I used to wear all the time. I wore for like 10 years after that. And we got painted and we got in the train and we went down to 42nd Street and we walked over, bitch, in heels. From the time I left Jasmine's house to the end of the Pride Parade, I was in these 6-inch heels, okay, thinking I was turning the party. Then we get to the thing and they have the barricades and I'm like, Jasmine, how are we gonna get in the thing? And she's like, girl, it's easy. So Jasmine fucking monster truck ass picks up the metal barricade, moves it, and we just walk into the parade and we just join the float.
That is so, Chase was like, we ain't paying these bitches.
I mean, rocked the whole thing from 39th Street and the 5th Avenue all the way down to the end in Chelsea. I mean, in a Christmas.
How did you feel? Were you like living your life? Like, what was
I was
life
living
for you?
My life, but I was so scared that someone would see me. Because back then I was like fully out to my family in America, my friends and everything. But my parents in St. Lucia didn't know. I was like, what if they put a clip of me on the news and they see it in St. Lucia? I was so like nervous the entire time.
What is it about music majors? They be so gay. They be the gayest people ever, but they don't be out. It is so.
Is that a thing with music majors?
Yes, because I'm not outing any of your friends, but you've had some friends who are out now who were saying they were not out when I met them, and I was like, okay, Miss Bitch, like sure, Miss Thing. Okay, sweet bitch, to quote
okay, that's three. One. That's okay, like, that's like maybe bitch. Three experiences. That's not like, that's not.
Yeah, but that's like three. That's like three of your friends. So I was like, oh, sure. And then there was this guy who was in the music program at CSU. We were from the theater program. We were all, everyone's out. Even the straight people were gay. Like, everyone's gay. And then there was this one guy who was like, and when I say gay, Monet, he was like, imagine like Silky Nutmeg Ganache. Oh, he kind of reminded me of Silky, actually. He was very silky, like very gay and very like, ooh, and like, I mean, just like, just a queen. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought he was out and gay. And then one day he said to me, he was like, y'all gay people are so interesting.
Work. That's always the gag. Like, nigga, who the fuck you talking to?
I said, you mean us? You mean we? what you mean, y'all? what do you mean, y'all? And he was like, I'm not gay. And I was like,
It's like that clip of Britney Spears realizing Ryan Seacrest isn't gay.
What is that clip?
There's a brilliant clip online of Britney Spears realizing that Ryan Seacrest is not gay. Ryan Seacrest is talking to Will.i.am, and then Ryan Seacrest says, "I love to put my spray my perfume, my girlfriend's perfume, when she's gone." And Britney Spears is like,
"This is live." Britney Spears was like there, like she.
Britney is in the middle. They are on either side, and he says he like sprays his girlfriend's perfume on like a pillow or something. And Britney Spears, look.
Oh my God, Jig is playing it.
And Britney Spears is like, oh.
I mean, to be fair, I thought Ryan Seacrest was gay since the first time I met him on American Idol. And then I remember having this realization too. He did something and he said girlfriend or his wife, and I was like, what is going on? I still think that nigga gay.
I thought he was gay since the first time I met him at that bathhouse, and he was fucking blasting my back out. What, I thought he was gay.
What has been the most fun pride you've done? Like, you know, because again, Bob and I have done a lot of pride since we've been traveling the world and et cetera. What's the most fun pride you've been to?
I'm a little younger, so I've done a few less than Monet, but oh yeah, we've both done a lot of prides. To be honest, so me and Mitch did Selma, Alabama Pride. This was it was the smallest pride I've ever done. I mean,
did you do it?
When or why?
When?
This was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Years ago, maybe. Maybe three. You know, time, when you're traveling, it all becomes, it wasn't two. Was it two? It was before you and I were dating. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know, remember. It was Selma, Alabama Pride. And girl, there were probably 20 people at this pride.
What? Maybe
20. Yes. Because they didn't feel comfortable advertising, because Selma, Alabama is like one of the most dangerous cities in America.
Is it really?
It is the 10th poorest city town in America.
Wow.
Selma, Alabama is tough in Selma. So they were like, we don't really advertise. It's just word of mouth. We just tell the people, and then the people around Selma come. But also Montgomery is so close that everyone just goes to Montgomery. Montgomery's like an hour away from Selma. So they're like, why would I go to Selma and risk, you know, danger when I can just go to Montgomery, Alabama instead? You know what I mean?
Got it.
But yeah, it was really, when I say small, there was a ceiling fan above me that I could grab with my hand. Like, I was in a small room. There were more performers than there were people in the audience, but it was really rewarding. The people there were like, we needed this. I was able to meet this group called Black Sheep, who's based out of Selma. I think now they go by the name Knights and Orchids. Mm-hmm. They're like basically the queer center in Selma, Alabama, run by this great guy named Q. But anyway, long story short, it was really fun. And then after that was probably, it was a weird one. It was Capital Pride. Capital Pride in D.C., which is one of the biggest prides. So I think the two biggest prides in America are actually Wisconsin Pride Fest and Capital Pride are the two biggest prides in America.
No. New York City?
This is not a debate.
Jacob, can you please look it up? Jacob, I need a fact check. I find it very hard to believe that New York City is not one of the biggest prides in America.
So Pride Fest is the largest queer music festival in the world.
Okay, but is that a pride? Is that like a city pride?
It is during Pride. It is their pride event. It's the largest queer music festival in the world. And Capital Pride is also massive.
Where is Capital at?
You ever heard of the capital of the United States?
D.C.
Yes. So Capital Pride was, I think it was like the main event was like 70,000 people, and it was me and Naomi, but it was just an emotional pride because it was the day after, the Pulse nightclub incident.
Oh, okay, got it.
It was literally the day after, the next day.
Oh my God, I don't know how people even felt comfortable even going out.
We didn't, and it was this big thing where we're all kind of like just leaning on to each other and being like, we're here, like being like living out loud is pride. Like, they're trying to terrorize us. They're trying to scare us into the closet. We will not let that happen.
Yeah. Well, you said 70,000 people. New York Pride has to have way more than 70,000 people.
But so here's what you're not allowing to enter the frame. So the events themselves, like when you say like the like Pride is like who's in New York City. Mm-hmm. Now the concert at the pier with like Cher, right. Patti LaBelle, that is the that's the event.
Right. And I'm saying that's that like has to be way more thing. Than 70,000 people.
It does not. So I mean obviously World Pride was like a massive event. Well, but I think it's based off of the actual, because Pride is like one big thing. Like the city doesn't actually throw Pride. It's just like a bunch of, there's like a Pride of association, a parade, and then a bunch of little infinity events.
I've been to Prides. I know how Prides work. And I'm just saying, taking all that into account, I still believe New York probably has the biggest one, but we'll find out. You know, and let me tell you something. What will happen? People will sound off and let us know how fucking wrong both of us are, so we don't have to fret.
Well, I'm also basing it off of the events themselves. So Capitol Pride is an event at DC Pride.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. You literally said that 14 times.
So now you know.
We're clear.
And your children will someday know.
Before Drag Race, and even still on Drag Race, but especially before Drag Race, I used to love Pride season because, you know, you get so many corporate gigs, and it's just a chance to really get, like, a lot of money from like from corporate gigs and just more.
You didn't tell me your best Pride though.
Oh, well, okay, let me just tell you this thing first. Okay. I used to love Pride time because as you know, being a queen in the city, like you have your gigs and stuff, but you know, you just living in New York City is expensive. And I used to especially look forward to Pride because I knew there would be an influx of work and there would, you know, a chance to increase my bag a little bit for a rainy day, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you are a working queen, and you want my advice to you is this. If you're trying to make coin on the day of the parade, do not get on a float.
Mm-hmm.
Rap. Don't get on a float.
For free.
At all. Because they'll like if you're like a working girl, you'll get paid to be on the float, but it'll be basically what the bar would pay you. So I used to get paid to be on floats, but it was like maybe a little bit better than what the bar paid. But if you work like a brunch on the float on the parade route, and then book yourself that night a gig at the bar,
right.
You will make way more than on that float, because the float is that when I tell you, you have to be in drag. Early to get on the float.
And hot as hell.
When I say early, y'all, I'm not playing. It is early. So by the time you have a gig at night, it's a wrap. You got to take a little nap.
You're tired. Don't even try. You're greasy.
Don't even try to get on the train to go back uptown and back downtown. The train is insane. Everything is just a clusterfuck. So what you want to do is get yourself a brunch gig on the route.
Mm-hmm.
Every restaurant, gay bar, straight bar, fucking biker bar, they're all doing brunches, trust me. And then take yourself a little break, come back at night, do a drag show that night. You will make coin thotas. That's the money.
Yeah, one Pride I did, Shaquita hosted a brunch, and then I performed at that brunch, and then I had like another gig at this was my schedule at Pride. I did like a brunch at Shaquita from like 11 to like 3. And then I had like another gig at a bar to host and do two numbers, like 2 hours from like 5 until 7. And then I had therapy that night from 11 to like 1 a.m. Bitch, that Pride, I made so much money between tips and what the bars were paying me. I made like a solid, like, just being a local girl, that Pride, I made like a solid like $2,500. And I was like, whoa, more kitty cat wigs for everybody, honey.
Exactly. And my tip is if you're not a girl who gets gig, get your ass on the floor and take that money. But if you're a girl who works, do the gigs. It's in my opinion, it's better than the Pride.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us your favorite Pride.
Which, so it was, it's a cross between Fierté. Have you done Fierté in Montreal, the big Pride celebration there?
Yeah.
That's what I did. And the reason why that one sticks out to me is because it's just major. Like, you're on this like huge, this huge stage with like literally 100,000 people sitting. Yeah, bitch, 70,000 people. This one is literally like 100,000 people at Montreal Fierté Pride. It is like a sea of people and you're performing for them. And I remember doing that Pride and I was like, if I ever did this Pride, this was like a year into my Drag Race stuff. So I wasn't really like aware of the power and like what I should be doing on stage. But now if I was to ever perform for that many people, I would have hire dancers and do a thing. I just did my little, let there be love, just me on stage. I should have had a whole crew, like a whole thing, you know?
Yeah, that was a good. I hosted it when I did it, but you know, you're probably like a little featured act when you did it.
That was the one that Bianca famously.
I know. That's why I made that face. I know.
But that is a good. Google it. That is a good one. It just makes you feel like a superstar. And I also. I wish Patty was here. It's either Indianapolis or Twin Cities Pride.
You talk like Patty's dead. I wish Patty was still with us.
Because Patty, remember, you know my memory is complete shite.
Girl, it was San Diego. We did San Diego. It was the gag.
I did. We did Twin Cities Pride, I believe. And this was before. This was honestly, Bob, I feel like 4 months before Lizzo popped off. Me and Lizzo were in trailers next to each other at Twin Cities Pride, just hanging, you know what I'm saying? And then
I know the feeling. I walked up to Lizzo, walked right up to her, and gave her $1 at DragCon, because she was performing at DragCon.
Gag.
New York.
Gag.
So Lizzo was up there doing Phone. What the hell, my phone? What? And I was like, oh my God, I love this song. So I left my booth, ran over to Lizzo. There was barely anyone watching her. And I was like, girl, I love you. And everyone's freaking out because it was about the drag queen. And I was like, y'all need to be paying attention to fucking Lizzo.
Girl. And yeah, so 26 Pride was a really fun time with her. But
and also, Lizzo, if you're listening, I gave you 20. I was trying to give you 10. You owe me $10.
Imagine.
Tag Lizzo.
I love Lizzo. I love, 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 love Lizzo. Is Lizzo queer? She's not, right?
I don't think she identifies as queer, but right. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, the queer community really rallies and loves her, and I just Lizzo. Honestly, Lizzo be empowering me to post naughty videos on Instagram, because Lizzo will be twerking her booty on Insta, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do it too.
And you have definitely been empowered, because I had to log into my mom's Instagram and block you, so she didn't have to see.
Y'all all gag in a few months. Bob gonna be on that naked tip on Instagram too. Y'all gonna be like,
under Monet, could you even ever imagine me? Even if I had the body of Diego or Plastique Tiara, I would never. I don't have it in me to be that naked on the internet.
But you do have it in you to be a whore.
Oh yeah, no, I will spread the love. Behind closed
doors. Do you
doors.
Think cops, because you know in New York City they're banning cops from coming to the Pride Parade. What do you think about that?
Oh, they're banning cops from coming to the Pride mm-hmm. Parade? Work. I don't know. I've never even thought about it. I mean, cops have just been at every parade I've ever
Me too.
Been at. I've never not seen the cops yeah. there. There's never been a time where I didn't see yeah. cops. I genuinely can't even fathom parade without the cops. Are they going to have like
they
firefighters
have something
or community
because
leaders,
you know
or?
Obviously the cops are there to make sure everyone is being safe and etc. But a few months ago,
also if y'all don't know what it's like in the West Village around 8:30, it gets
litty
wild
kitty.
In the West Village.
That's because everybody been day drinking during the parade.
Yep, and it's a bunch of gay boys acting crazy. A couple of butch lesbians yelling at some femme lesbian outside of the lunchbox. Down by the New Jersey Transit, that little uh-huh. area. Ooh, the nutcrackers
girl,
they be trying to
oh
sell.
Oh my God, I saw this story. This guy makes $20,000 a month selling nutcrackers throughout the summer. He makes enough money selling nutcrackers throughout the summer that he doesn't have to work for the rest of the year.
I mean, open a bar at that point.
Honestly. I'm like, that is so, I was like, I did not know the Nutcracker business. If y'all don't know, if you're not, because I think it's a very New York thing. Nutcrackers.
I had never heard of it until I got to New York City.
Oh, but I used to live on Nutcracker. But me and my friends, like in high school, used to buy Nutcrackers all the time over on 135th and Lenox from dudes up there. Well, so they used to sell them at bodegas. Like you could like be like, yo, how much, and they would change. And they'd be like, how much are the Nutcrackers today, sir? They'd be like, oh, it's 7 today, or it'll be 5, or it'll be 4. You have to change all the time.
Monet's gonna tell us what a Nutcracker. Jacob's keeping like, whoa. I'm like, Monet's gonna tell yeah. us what a Nutcracker. Jacob's like, but she's, she's gonna get to it, I swear.
A Nutcracker is, well, the Nutcracker is, they just put alcohol and juices, and they make their own concoction of alcohol and juices, and they either put it in pouches, or they put it in, What are those things you know what I'm talking about?
So it looks like when you buy the Tampico
there we go.
Orange juice, but the one that's like
a square and straight up. There's no dimensions to it.
Yeah.
So like the cheap orange juice, it's like that.
Yeah, and it'll be in those containers, and then they either sell bodegas or guys sell on the street in like coolers. And it's all over New York City. I guess it's still popping.
And it's literally it's just a cocktail. There's no one recipe. No one alcohol. It's basically cocktails
like punch,
but sold illegally on the street.
Yeah, illegally on the street. I mean,
that's what it is.
He has a whole, I think it's a This Is Now article about how he makes $20,000 a month selling nutcrackers, bitch.
I mean, well, he's obviously not paying taxes on it because he's illegally selling on the street, which you can't sell alcohol on the street.
Maybe he is if he's doing an article about it. I'm sure he is. He's legitimized himself in order to do an article about
maybe
it.
Maybe he masked his identity. We'll talk more about it when we get back. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I mean, for me, sometimes being in the public eye can sometimes be very difficult with everybody commenting and tweeting their opinions about you out of nowhere. And it can be really helpful to have a space to process and move past everything that's happened. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Now, the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly videos or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/rivalry, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer to Sibling Rivalry listeners, get 10% off for your first month at BetterHelp.com/rivalry. There is nothing more personal than your health. So when it comes to finding the right nutrition supplements to meet your fitness goals, you need a personalized approach. Thankfully, now there's Gainful, the personalized nutrition system that's formulated for your body and goals. Gainful gives you peace of mind that your protein, hydration, and pre-workout supplements contain the finest ingredients specifically for you. Get started by taking the 5-minute Gainful quiz. Gainful considers your dietary needs, goals, and unique physiology to personalize your formula. Gainful delivers your supplements with no shipping charge every month. You can cancel anytime or adapt your plan as needed. All Gainful products are formulated by their on-staff registered dietitian and are backed by pro-level exercise scientists on their science advisory board. Every Gainful customer gets complimentary one-on-one access to their own registered dietitian. Girl, that is amazing. Available anytime to answer your questions. Gainful's rigorous quality control process ensures that your supplements only have clean ingredients you can pronounce, along with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Start your personalized fitness today with Gainful. To get $20 off your personalized supplements, go to Gainful.com/rivalry. That's Gainful.com/rivalry. Get $20 off. Gainful, personalized nutrition made for your taste. I'm actually kind of jealous. I never tasted it. I moved to New York City sober, so I've never bought a nutcracker off the street.
They're hit or miss. Honestly, more hits than misses. But sometimes you get one and be like, girl, this is just juice.
In Georgia, we had something called Hunch Punch.
Hunch Punch.
Hunch.
That's just something nasty.
Hunch. Now I'm about to make out country. Now I'm about to have a country experience. So you didn't sell Hunch Punch. You just gave Hunch Punch away. It's at parties. Every party has Hunch Punch. Hunch Punch is like Kool-Aid, cheap juice, and then something called Everclear.
Now, oh, girl, I've heard about that.
If y'all know what Everclear is, Everclear is nail polish remover. It's paint thinner. It's gasoline. Ugh. So to give you an idea, Jack Daniel's is 80 proof. 80 proof means it is 40% alcohol. That's what proof means. So if something is 100 proof, it is 50% alcohol. The other 50% is like juices and waters and botanicals and all that shit. Everclear is 95% alcohol. It is 210 proof.
Disgusting.
No, wait, what's that? 100, what's that? Do math for me. Say? Hey, Google.
195?
What's 95 times 2?
190, babe.
95 times 2 is
190. It is 190 proof. Y'all, this is literally stronger than rubbing alcohol.
That's disgusting.
Most rubbing alcohol you get from the grocery store or the CVS 70. Pharmacy is 70%. It is insane. So you mix the Hawaiian punch and a bunch of stuff. Again, there's no recipe, but the one thing that makes it a hunch punch is pouring in Everclear.
That's
and it ruins you. Ruins you.
Also, when people do that, I'm like, it's not even enjoyable to drink. I'm
it tastes good. A hunch punch does taste good.
Oh, well,
it just gets you. It just gets you completely. I mean, the point is, Everclear is so disgusting that you have to like add in all that juice and Kool-Aid and extra shit to
make it
so
bearable.
That it doesn't taste bad. So the thing is, like, you think you're getting as fucked up as a normal cocktail, but because it's 190 proof, it is basically two cocktails. Like, every cocktail is basically two cocktails.
Gag. What do you think about this sanitization of prides? Allegedly, this like new reckoning because with like Gen Zers, because you know, in New York City Pride, you see guys in leather, guys in harnesses. You see women there with New York is also you can be topless, and you know, Pride is just to celebrate all the entire LGBTQIA experience, whether you know wherever you fall on that, you know what I mean. And even in Pride in San Francisco and stuff, like you see like. They celebrate nudity, they celebrate bodies, obviously not in like a sexual way, but you know, they have kids at Pride. Everyone is invited to Pride, but they're saying that with like Gen Zers and younger generations that they don't want to see all that because it's inappropriate. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's appropriate for young people to want to cover up their own bodies. Now, if they're trying to police other people's bodies, I think that is incredibly problematic, and I do not condone, support, or lean into that. But I do feel like... people wanting to be modest with themselves, that's valid. That makes sense. But also, let the hoes be hoes. That's honestly, the thing. Hoes don't try to stop non-hoe people from being hoes.
Right. It's like, I just want a hoe.
Exactly. Like but sometimes non-hoes really be out here judging us. But also, as a modestly dressed hoe, I understand. I am very modest in my presentation, but I am a hoe. So some of us toe the line. So I'll be at Pride wearing shorts and a tank top. I will not be shirtless. My shorts will be above the knee, but my pockets won't be hanging out. And I will probably be wearing shoes that go over my ankles, but you know.
Jake was running. By the way, I agree with that as well. I'm like, Pride is to, like, that's why Pride was birthed, because, you know, queer people felt stifled. We felt choked. We couldn't be ourselves. And that means, again, embracing our bodies and doing all that stuff. So in order to, if you want to do prides and bar these people, exclude them from celebrating Pride how they want to, I feel that is shady and it is problematic.
Now, Jacob wrote this question. It is very poignant. The question says, is it appropriate for old white men to walk around Pride fully naked around children? I would just say people in general, like I'm not targeting the old white men, but is it appropriate for people to be naked at Pride? I will say this. Do not bring your children to Pride if you do not want them to see something that is at least a little bit, if not grotesquely, sexually suggestive. If you don't want to see jock straps, don't bring your kids to Pride. If you don't want your kids to see drag queens, don't bring your kids to Pride. If you don't want to see titties that are painted like rainbows,
right.
Do not bring your children to Pride.
Yeah, I agree with
if
that.
If you think that that is not what your kids should be seeing, Pride is not the place for your family. Go on the Rosie O'Donnell cruise.
I remember when she used to advertise on her show. I was like, oh my God, I want to go on a Rosie O'Donnell cruise. I want to go because she used to give them away on her talk show all the time, which makes sense. I agree.
That is like, no. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I used to be jealous. That's why I always felt like reservations about going to Pride because I was like, or like images of Pride. I'm like, I wish I grew up with a family that was acceptable of sexuality in that way. You know what I mean? My family is just a conservative West Indian family. So it's just a different experience. But when I would see like pictures and images of Pride on TV, on the internet and stuff like that, I was like, that must be so cool to have a family that's so free loving and just so just, you know, I don't know. I was always jealous of not having that experience.
And I remember being a young person at Pride. I mean, I was in high school. I wasn't a child, but I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And seeing, like, people in, like, harness and stuff and being like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, this, honestly, this really feels cool. I didn't feel scandalized.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like, they, like, if, you know, cause a popular image is, like, when the leather guys walk.
Yeah.
There's always one old, it is an old white man wearing boots, a little leather hat, and then, like, a harness that goes down and covers the balls and his whole old saggy ass is out. And I don't remember feeling like they're like shaking their dicks at me.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, this is, and to act like that's not a part of gay culture would be a falsehood.
For sure. I agree.
You know what I mean?
I
what do you think about the corporate, like Pride being like people, some folks are really pissed off that Pride is like corporate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we talked about that a bit before in our, when we talk about virtue signaling. That's what I don't like. Obviously, during Christmas time and during Thanksgiving, obviously corporations take advantage of that and they cater more to those holidays. And Pride has become a holiday, so I get why companies do that. But if you're a company that is so that solely and contributes to the degradation of queer people, and then you want to slap fucking rainbows on your shit and be like, "We love is love," just to incite people to buy your shit, fuck off. You know what I mean?
What are you saying? Contributes solely, like who contributes exclusively to the degradation of queer people?
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I mean, listen, I'm not a fan of Chick-fil-A. I do not think they contribute exclusively to the dinner.
Okay, there was a little hyperbole, Bob. You got me. There was a little hyperbole there. Sorry, I know we never do this on Sibling Rivalry. I apologize.
I don't.
You don't participate in hyperbolic comments on Sibling Rivalry? Is that what the fuck you're saying right now, nigga?
You are Miss Hyperbole. That is who you are. Welcome to stage, Hyperbully. You're a hyper bully.
No, you are about to get your ass too, man, because you are the hyper bully for sure.
I got there before you. I beat you.
Yeah, that's my problem.
I think that, here's the thing about corporations too. Because I realize, I'm like, first of all, give people your dollars. Like, give these queer people your dollars, especially queer people of color. Give them your dollars. I also realized, too, that corporations are not monolithic.
This is true.
Even though it seems like Chase is not like, it's not one. A lot of times, sometimes the high ups don't even know that who, like, because there's the charity, like, there are entire charity, like, branches of these organizations figuring out who to give the money to as well. And, you know, these, in my opinion, I personally don't have a problem with corporations giving money to queer groups and queer places and queer bars and gay people. I'm like, give us your fucking money. Give us
Are they doing that though? Are they? Yes. We see the rainbows. The rainbows doesn't mean that you're giving to queer folk. It's just
if you're in the parade, you pay to be in the parade. If you're in the parade, you're
not just that. I'm talking about like over Instagram and over Twitter. Like when like fucking like let's say for example, and I don't know what they do with their life, but let's say for example, I don't know even if they do this, but if Vans makes their Vans logo rainbow for Pride season, they don't have no floats, they don't have nothing, they just put it there. You're like, oh my God, Vans has a rainbow. That must mean they love queer people. Let me go buy 18 pairs of Vans. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think there's also a part of it that is a signal that maybe you're safe if you go to a Vans store, or like if you work at Vans, if you were queer and you worked at that company, it would probably be very nice to see that.
Yeah, for sure.
It would probably be very nice to see that, being like, God damn, that felt good. Now, I've never seen Chick-fil-A at any Pride. I don't think Chick-fil-A runs the risk of being at any Pride ever. Mm-hmm. But that being said, if I worked at Chick-fil-A, and from experience, I was a queer person working at Chick-fil-A, it would have been really nice. Really nice for someone somewhere in the company to have been like, hey, the rainbow biscuit.
Or something. So I
would have felt nice as an employee there.
So Jacob Strong has 9 corporations that donated to anti-gay politicians. And while being at the Pride Parade, UPS, Comcast, Pfizer. Bitch, not all y'all walking around with Pfizer in your veins. Not y'all running around with anti-gay vaccines. No. FedEx.
What do you have?
I have Moderna, honey. And Moderna, they ain't donated to nothing bad. Moderna, they're the angels of vaccinations.
Ever since Dolly Parton got Moderna, you're gonna fucking be swearing me the best.
Yeah, so you see, so that's a prime example. And bitch, and again, I'm guilty of using, besides Pfizer, of using, I use UPS, I use FedEx, I use all these things that were there. So, and again, I don't think there's a way to avoid it in the world, in America. I don't think there's a way. Just, for example, there's this whole thing like back last June when all the Black Lives Matter protests were like really at peak time. And then they like put a list of all like these companies that have donated to anti-Black legislations. Well, not anti-Black legislations, but legislations that helps degrade Black folk that support those things like anti-prison reform, stuff like that, and also anti-queer stuff. And one of them was Taco Bell. And but then later it came out that the chief CEO is that, but the people like you said, it's more convoluted than being so black and white.
Exactly, because everyone be like, fuck them. They like it's really not that simple. Sometimes it is they donate it to this thing that donates to this thing who gives to this person who has anti-gay legislation. So I'm like, if you're gonna, I think that. People who work at that company know that there is a glimmer of something that's not anti-gay. Mm-hmm. And also, sometimes I think about these companies when I think about people in my life, like the way we think about loved ones and like everybody in your family ain't pro-gay. You know what I mean? So like maybe there's more nuance to it than just being like, and also here's the thing too, y'all, just because the other companies who we don't know have donated anti-gay does not mean they're super pro-queer.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Just because someone's not on this list does not mean they're a great company. We do not know what they're donating to. We don't know what, we have no clue. You know what I mean?
Prime example. What's that company? Bob the Dragon LLC. Like, I like looked, they have like some crazy... They have some crazy stuff going on behind the scenes.
Shut the fuck up, Monet. You are so stupid. You are you're a dumb person, is what you are.
Wait, is there a pride quiz mini game, Jacob? That sounds fun.
All right, everyone, we're gonna do a little queer pride quiz and see who's gonna.
Not by AARP, not this old ass quiz.
How do you think you're gonna do, Monet?
I think I'm gonna do fine. I'm a good test taker. Like in school, I was a good test taker, but obviously I would have time to study the materials.
Okay, so I'm gonna go first. When did demonstrations for gay rights begin in the United States? I mean, this seems like it's hard to verify, but I feel like one of the first demonstrations regarding queer rights in America was at the Compton Cafeteria riots in San Francisco. And I feel like that was 1965 or 55, but I'm going to say 65.
I'm going to say 65 as well.
Okay, we're going one at a time. You can't piggyback
on
my answers.
No. We both get to answer.
Not you piggybacking. All right, 1965.
No, because because Stonewall was 69. So go ahead.
Correct. The first picketing for gay rights took place on July 4th, 1965 in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia and in D.C. So it was not actually when I thought it was. But also, I'm not sure. This is a kind of a weird question. I also know that there were other demonstrations that happened that may not have actually been called gay rights. So maybe...
they're calling it gay rights. That's the point. They're saying gay rights. They're titling it. I'm not even trying to say AARP is wrong.
Well, there was someone named William Dorsey Swan, who was famously the first drag queen in America, who was a former slave, who would also stand up for queer rights as well, but maybe it wasn't called gay rights back then. Anyway, what's our next question?
The Compton Cafeteria riot was in 1966, just so you were clear.
And just so we're clear, Money's reading that off the same screen I'm looking at, just so we're all clear. God, let's be Crystal. Let's be Dasani.
Such a child.
Punani Dasani.
I'll read this one. What group staged a 1966 sip-in at a New York bar to challenge a ban on serving alcohol to gays? I feel like I know this. I want to say it's D, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force.
It's the Mattachine Society.
Well, that was their colloquial name. It was okay. Go ahead.
It was the Mattachine Society. Monet. Wow. Are you even queer? Are you even queer, Monet? Wow, Nini. Wow. And it was at Julius Bar, which I believe was the oldest gay bar in New York City until it closed, like, I think 3 years ago. It was on the Upper West Side. Was that Candle Bar? I can't even remember.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Jacob, we didn't even...
The question was, what city did Stonewall take place
in? Oh. When was the nation's first gay pride parade, Nini?
Ooh.
So I'm gonna. Well, I know the answer.
Well, you have to answer first.
1970, the year after the riots.
I don't know if that's true though. I'm gonna say. I mean, I know. So obviously, Stonewall was 69.
Say you're guessing without saying you're guessing.
No, I'm trying to do deductive reasoning. Stonewall was 1969. I guess 70 makes the most sense. I'm going to say 70.
Not you piggybacking ass piggybacking bitch.
That makes the most sense.
Have y'all noticed that every time I go first, Monet just picks my answer? Have y'all noticed this? Go on to next question, Jacob.
They were all the right questions. So that's right. Okay. What university opened the first office for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students? That is so easy. That is New York University.
Monet, you said it quick, but you're not sure. Monet, I know you so well. You are guessing so hard.
How am I guessing? New York University.
University of California, Berkeley.
Bitch, you're wrong too.
So well, I was guessing just like you.
University of Michigan. So it happened. It was called the Gay Advocates Office. It opened in 1971. Michigan seems like such a random place. No shade to Michigan Heights, but you know what I mean. That is in the middle of the country. They are crazy as hell over there, girl.
Well, is University of Michigan? Is it in Detroit? Where is it at?
It's in. Oh, I almost said it's in Michigan.
Yikes. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ann Arbor too? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Damn. All right. In what 1983 case did the U.S. Supreme Court rule that the constitutional right to privacy did not extend to same-sex relations? Mo, do you
know? Go first. I answer the last one first. You have to answer this one first.
I believe this was Bowers versus.
You're
Harvard.
Looking it up. You're looking it up.
I'm not.
Bob, why did you? You are you.
I'm not looking it up, Monet. You are so like paranoid.
Because y'all know, the sneaky little boyfriend is back up to some. They up to some shenanigans over there over at Bob the Drag Queen.
You can see Jacob's entire screen. Jacob is sharing his screen with us right now.
Okay, but share your screen.
Aesthetic violence is up 400%.
Not both anti-Semite. All right, go ahead, pick one. But you're guessing. Just pick one. You're literally guessing. You have no clue. Don't make us sit through you guessing.
I'm going to say Bowers versus Hardwick.
Oh my God, you're such a fucking annoying little shit. You are so fucking annoying. The only ones you've gotten right have been after I gave you the answer.
Bitch, you didn't even know the last one.
The one I got wrong, you didn't know either. Go to the next motherfucking question, Jacob. Monet picking this one.
Whose murder spurred Congress to pass legislation later vetoed by President George W. Bush that would have protected gays under federal hate crime laws? That is D. Matthew Shepard. Bob, do you want to take a guess?
It's Matthew Shepard.
Okay, so you got it right after me.
No, it's because I read the Laramie Project in high school.
Your turn.
In 2000, this state became the first to legalize civil unions. Do you know it, Mona?
Yes, I do.
I honestly, I just don't. trust
what
you.
What do you mean?
I don't trust you.
Bob, go.
Jacob, you're not slick.
What do you mean I'm not slick?
Jacob, swear he's influencing something. Everybody know it ain't Maine.
Right. Bob, go.
I don't. It's California.
Yes, California. It's everyone knows that.
It's Vermont, you sneaky ass bitch. It's Vermont. See, Monet, you are so. I caught you, bitch. That was so fucking easy. It was easy. See, everybody know this is how you. This is how I caught you, bitch. I fucking caught you. You are so ridiculous. You are the most ridiculous person I've ever met in my life.
Okay.
Oh my God.
In this 2003 case, the Supreme Court ruled that laws banning sodomy are unconstitutional. That laws banning sodomy are unconstitutional. I'm going to say, this sounds like some Texas shit. Lawrence versus Texas.
I feel like it's Lawrence versus Mississippi. I feel like I remember this. We know it was Lawrence.
Probably about to be Georgia. Why you over the key can? Yes! I told Texas. You. So, bitch, who don't know queer history? You.
I'm still mad at you trying to trick me into that last answer.
So you're now tied. This last one is the tiebreaker.
All right, here we go. It's a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, President Barack Obama invited this man, who was fired from his government job in the 1950s for being openly gay, to the signing ceremony for a presidential order barring discrimination in federal benefits.
Here, me.
Okay, I'm going to be open. This is a complete guess. I have no clue whatsoever. I am being open about that. And I am going to guess, do any of these names ring a bell? Harold Foster, Frank Kameny, Elliot Sanderson, Morris Williams. I feel like Morris Williams rings a bell to me.
Morris Williams, is that your final answer? It is not, okay.
That's my final answer.
It's not Morris Williams and not Harold Foster. It is absolutely Elliot Sanderson.
You just, when I tell you, Monet,
Google
this.
The camera's, Bob, my hands are right.
When I tell you, Monet, Google this. And you got it wrong.
I didn't Google anything. Frank Kameny.
So we both got it,
Wait,
it wrong.
Wait, Jimmy, listen until we can read the answer for the listeners. Oh. Well, the answer, it was Frank Kameny. Oh, Frank Kameny.
Frank Kameny, a key player in the birth of gay rights movement, died. Damn, Jacob. Jacob, do not want this man to get his fucking flowers. Frank Kameny, a key player in the birth of the gay rights movement, died in 2011 at the age of 86.
Damn, Jacob. Frank, next. That was a little pride episode. This was fun.
That was a cute. So we're tied again.
Jake.
Not like smart, funny, and black, but I mean.
I'm not even going to go down. I'm not doing this with you.
You don't have to. You know what? In fact, you all can, because it's available on Amanda Seals' YouTube page right now. The video is up. Henny. 9,000 people watch me spank Monet's ass.
Oh, my God. Anyway. I hope you all have a happy pride out there and whatever pride means to you. And also, I want to say this before we go. People do this all the time. They like pressure people to come out. Do not come out until you are ready to come out. Don't let people make you feel like you need to do something you're not ready to do, okay? Coming out can mean a lot of things for different people. It might mean that you may be homeless. Maybe your family may reject you. There are many layers to coming out. So don't feel the need to come out because it's this hip thing to do. You come out when you are good and ready to, girl. Don't let anybody tell you what you have to do with your own life.
Hear, hear. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.